meeting, a majority of the contractor associations said if you're going to change something, you should deal with the reporting issue. That was in the forefront of all the discussions when we were in the Senate lounge, not by us senators that continue to try to bring this issue up, but by those contracting associations. Would that be an accurate statement?
I think that was pretty much their position that they felt would be helpful in determining prevailing wage. And I think during those discussions, I pointed out that a lot of my guys, for one reason or another, were not reporting. And such a small number of outstate Missouri was reporting. We were looking at how do we change that issue? How do we bring that forward? Our fear, or my fear, was that there are some projects sitting there that this whole unknown to a lot of the contractors that they weren't moving forward and was acting as a deterrent to job creation and getting some things done that possibly had the opportunity to maybe move forward if there was a better understanding or an easier way to report. And I know we've talked about quite a few different ways of reporting and requiring mandatory, making it easier. I think the senator from Jefferson has some ideas on online reporting, and some of those issues have been brought up and talked about.
They were discussed, and then I believe, I remember the one contractor from the Mechanical Contractors Association stood up and basically said, this is how we compete. This is our livelihood. Be careful what you do with this law because this could be detrimental to our industry. Several contractors had mentioned that as well. I'm not putting words in your mouth, am I?
That was a concern that they had. And I think the majority of those contractors represented Jackson County surrounding area, St. Louis County surrounding area. And, you know, I think all of us said, you know, prevailing wage laws as written seem to work well in those areas. It was the outstate area that a lot of us had concerns about.
Right. But one of the things that kept being brought up throughout this entire process is I believe 68% of the wage rates dealing with the 20-something different OCC titles in the 114 counties plus the city of St. Louis, that no wage rates were being turned in.
That's right. So, a huge percentage.
And one of the issues that you brought up with your contractor was that my contractors don't want to turn in because they're going to get harassed. So the second meeting that we had, we brought in the Department of Labor to discuss that, and the Department of Labor said that does not happen. They came in. Am I accurate when we met down in Senate Committee Hearing Room 1?
That was pretty much what they maintained, that, and there were some figures that supported some of their claims. And, you know, then I go back home and I don't really get that feeling from talking with these folks, you know, that are smaller, dealing in smaller projects and basically at this point not doing public projects. And so somewhere there's a disconnect. I don't know if it goes back years ago or what the situation is. And, you know, I just want everybody to get in the game because I think there are some things that can be done in Worth County and Dent County and, you know, smaller counties that have lesser budgets. I think there's some projects sitting there that somehow we need to move forward. And, you know, I've learned a lot through this process. And I guess I still want to know, how do I get my guys into the bidding process?
Yeah, so that's one of the issues that we brought up through these meetings with the contractors. And I think the senator from Stoddard said after we had the first meeting, can we narrow it down a little bit? Because the second meeting, what we dealt with was the Department of Labor to get a grasp and answer the questions. I think some of the questions were answered that the senator from Jasper was not aware, but the Department of Labor Standards, was actually assisting a school district down in Jasper County dealing with an unscrupulous contractor And when I'm going to inquire of him a little bit in a little later as well, but actually offered to house the Department of Labor Standards to assist them in enforcing, because they had a very non-productive contractor, let's say that way. So they were kind of educating us. So then we go to the third meeting. I believe a group of us senators had a meeting also in the senator from Stoddard's office. And then we had a meeting in the back, which we had on a Monday, and we narrowed it down further that the ABC was represented by Mr. Paddock at the meeting. I had requested somebody from the electrical contractors. We all agreed with somebody that was comfortable with the issue. We in turn brought a lady that owns a contracting company from St. Louis but does work throughout the entire state, as well as someone from Kansas City. And once again, the issue of reporting was brought up again.
Right.
So in all of our meetings and in the process of getting us to sit down and discuss mandatory reporting, which I would like to add is not something that I have promoted. Because if you're dealing with the union non-union issue, and 70% is a collective bargaining wage rate, if you force more reporting, there's going to be less collective bargaining rates because people are going to start submitting their hours, and they're going to be those different hours. So that is a very big step into trying to come to a compromise. All meetings requested some type of mandatory reporting. I think the House of Representatives has a bill which basically wants the county commissioners to collect the wage rates and send them up to the Department of Labor. But we can agree that there is a problem with reporting. There was a discussion that some of the contractors feel they are going to be harassed if they report. We brought in the department. They turned and said, we haven't done that. We've been too busy dealing with these other issues. That's false. We also had the senator from Jefferson bring up reports out of 10 years, out of all these OCC titles and out of all these problems, that there had only been about 10 objections, and most of them were settled. So it seems the ones that had problems worked it out. So we've created this mountain. And in these meetings that we're trying to get everyone to sit down and work together and come up with some constructive solutions, with reporting being one of them, I don't see reporting in the senator from Stoddard's issue. In the senator from Stoddard's bill is what he wants in the bill. There is nothing about reporting. And there is no argument that says the senator from Jefferson, the senator from the 11th, and myself have tried to sit down and come to some consensus. So in fairness to my discussion with you, I'd like to know, do you think the three senators that could be considered on the other side sat down and did their due diligence and participated in the process?
Well, I think that, you know, in this process and, in the Senate, I think you guys have offered some amendments today that some of them are very good amendments that we'll consider. I think we'll have amendments coming forward. And hopefully at the end of the discussion, there's something, because I feel like right now nobody's really felt that we've hit that target that does what maybe both sides want to do. And, one of our contentions has been the mode method of reporting, and whether or not, our side feels like that's...
Now there you're going on sides.
Do what?
You're going on sides. Our side feels...
Yeah, well, I mean, different groups and on different sides of the discussion. I'm not, I think the goal is, how do we get more people reporting wages? So it because, according to the law, that would reflect more accurately in the counties that aren't reporting what the wage rate is, and would, in the long term, hopefully help with some of their public projects. That's the goal, and how we get to that,
right?
You know, yeah.
Have What major issues have you handled in the Missouri Senate this year? I have supported all of them.
Yeah, you have. You've been very good.
Just give me one example of one issue you've handled. Was it, the rabies issue is one. Is there an industry issue that you handled?
I have not.
Because when you handle a bill on the floor, don't you try to bring all the interested parties in?
I do.
That the law affects?
Yeah. Hopefully.
Get some of them to agree and say, sit down, let's work something out.
Right.
Okay. I got just a few letters I want to mention because as Democrats, it's always that stigma that we are anti-business and Republicans are pro-business. Democrats like to fight for the employees. Republicans like to fight for the business. I've always been in a belief that if businesses aren't making money, they can't employ people.
Right.
So
I agree.
I tend to listen to them. And throughout my career, I have handled legislation for major corporations. In fact, when I was chairman of the House Labor Committee in the House, I didn't handle any collective bargaining for public employees or any of those issues. I always handled issues that were pertaining to the business community. One of the first bills I passed, the senator from Jefferson's father was in the Senate. He handled it in the Senate, was prompt pay. A lot of these contractors couldn't get their final payment and were going broke. I helped not just those union contractors. I helped those non-union contractors get the money they deserved. And what I did in that piece of legislation with the former senator from Jefferson, is we put up to 18% interest if they won a judgment. And that is to entice the customer, if the contractor has fulfilled his punch list, to pay promptly.
I agree.
Because a lot of contractors were going broke.
Yeah.
Then in the latter part of my tenure, I pushed a retainage issue. They keep so much money at the end of the job, too. It's similar to prompt pay, but it's retainage. We passed that, and I had to chuckle. I was in a Senate committee. I think the senator from the 3rd, St. Francis, is handling the bill to try to clean up some issues because the subcontractors down the food chain that complete their job at the early stages of a construction site have to wait possibly 2 or 3 years to get, their end deposit.
Right.
And they've completed, and they've already paid the wage rates and the benefits. So that's another issue I handled. So I always felt, and I used to have labor people come to me all the time, we want collective bargaining for public employees. I said, listen, it's not going to pass. I'd rather pass something that we can pass that helps instead of beating our heads against the wall with collective bargaining. And I'll tell you, there was a Teamster lobbyist at the time. I think he has passed. But he used to come into my office and do that finger pointing to me. And then I'd go back, and people would contact me, you're anti-labor, you won't push collective bargaining. I says, because it won't pass.
Yeah.
I want to do productive things. I don't like to waste my time up here. I could be doing more productive things like being at my daughter's soccer game tonight than standing here all night and doing something that's completely non-productive. So my Irish gets up, Senator, when I have to do things that are totally unproductive. When I have applied myself sincerely into trying to come up with a solution, and because I am one of 8 of a minority, when it comes to this issue, I don't know anything. I know absolutely nothing. Because the individual we're listening to is an individual who got caught a year ago at an armory in Springfield with illegals. That is who we're listening to in these meetings. We're not listening to the Plumbing Industry Council. It's a trade association representing 155 plumbing and mechanical contractors located in the eastern half of Missouri, not just St. Louis, who hire over 1,500 employees plus 600 office and managerial staff. And in their letter, they state prevailing wage laws ensure local labor standards cannot be artificially depressed by competition for state-funded construction projects. Now, I'm just not holding you up, but I've been waiting my turn to speak,
right.
And you're one of the people I'm speaking with. We have the utmost respect for you, so don't think I'm picking on you.
I'm good.
All right. Contractors no longer compete on the basis of who can best train, best equip, and best manage a construction crew. Instead, they compete on the basis of who can find the cheapest workers either locally or through importing labor from elsewhere. This puts the quality of construction at risk. It also may lead to substantial cost overruns. Now, the reason people say they don't do it in the private sector, why do we do it in the public sector? Well, in the public sector, in our statutes dealing with contracting, we state that you have to go with the lowest, best bid.
Right.
But we do not define in our state statutes what is best. But we all know what lowest is, but we really don't have it. So all these public entities have to go with the lowest bid. So these contractors want to be left on a level playing field. Those organizations are persons who are attempting to change or repeal prevailing wage or trying to gain an unfair advantage for out-of-state and or dishonest contractors by ensuring the playing field is no longer level. That's from the Plumbing Industry Council, Executive Vice President Ray Hefner. I got a letter from SMACNA. That's a group that represents 44 contractors who design, build, service, and install heating and air conditioning, ventilation, sheet metal systems for residential, commercial, industrial, and institutional applications. 1,800 trained employees and several hundred management. They say the same thing. Don't repeal or weaken the prevailing wage. I have a letter from the St. Louis chapter, National Electrical Contractors Association. They represent 190 electrical contractors and communication contractors. Senator, do you know where one of their bigger contractors is working right now? They're located in St. Louis, but you know where they're working?
Probably in Afghanistan or overseas.
No. They're Joplin. Working in Joplin.
Okay.
They're building a hospital. Okay? Now, that's not a public works. That's Mercy Hospital.
Right.
But Mercy Hospital is private, and they said, we want this built right. We want guarantee electric down there. Now, they pay that so-called collective bargaining wage rate down in Joplin. The biggest project down in Joplin for the next year is going to be the building of Mercy Hospital.
Right.
They're bringing in these big contractors from St. Louis that they have dealt with in St. Louis because there's Mercy Hospitals in St. Louis. They're going to set that wage rate for the next 3 years down in Jasper County. And those are the wage rates so that those contractors can also compete and do work down there. But in their letter, also I just wanted to mention that contractors represented by NECA performed between 5 million and 25 million hours of electrical work and communication construction work in Missouri annually. The purpose of this letter is to communicate the unanimous opposition from contractors represented by our association to proposals to amend the Missouri prevailing wage law. Senator, why I bring this up is because we have businesses that the Republicans are supposed to be sticking up for. Write me letters saying, please stop any repeals of the prevailing wage law. If you're going to do anything, like they told you, let's do something with reporting, like I'm doing with my amendment. But, Senator, I'm not going to make you stand the entire evening. I wanted to share with everyone, because you have a lot of respect, that through this process of negotiations and sitting down and working things out, reporting has been the biggest issue that has been brought forth by a majority of the contractors present. I have just read several letters, and I have more, that will tell you a lot of these contractors throughout the state that are taxpaying citizens, taxpaying companies that provide health and welfare benefits and pension benefits wanted to be left alone.
Right.
And we're not listening to them. And it's very frustrating at this hour, this late at night, we're going to go all night until your caucus wants to do something deliberate that'll be probably very devastating. But until we want to talk about the issues and sit in a room and compromise and work on an issue that the industry has said, let's do, where do I go?
Yeah. And I understand what you're bringing forward. And then you have to understand that since I've been elected, I served in the House 2 years and then I've been over here. There's rarely a group meeting that I have back home that someone doesn't come up. And and start talking about prevailing wage. And, you know, and I get into discussion. I'm more educated now than I've been in the past about, you know, kind of how this thing works. And they are very concerned. And it's not just Republican. And, you know, and I don't think this is a Republican-Democrat issue. I think that both sides of the aisle at this stage in Missouri's economy, we want jobs. We want to get some things
moving. I'm with you,
forward.
Senator. I'm you right know, behind you. Tell me what I can do.
Yeah, and I don't care how we do it. I just want to do it. And you know, well, I do care how we do it. I want it to be done legally, properly, whatever.
In fairness to us, you can't blame us Democrats for stopping the economic development bill special session that wasted $200,000 of taxpayer money and accomplished absolutely nothing. I'm going to mention that several times tonight, too.
I understand.
You know, on that issue, can I tell you an issue on that I have told the senator from Stoddard several times? You want to know why I am so bitter on that issue? There used to be a rule in the Missouri Senate that when you come into someone's district and deal with legislation pertaining to their district, that you contact that senator. The property that proposal affected was in the senator from the 14th and the senator from the 13th district. Neither one of us was contacted throughout the summer. And let me add to this to you, Senator. I requested to participate in that, and I was excluded. Now, how would you feel when you talk about economic development and you represent the area and they don't even ask you to come participate?
Well, I probably can't really tell you right here on the floor how I would feel.
Well, you'd be like me, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I'd probably be a lot worse. You're more of a statesman than I am, probably, so...
Oh, yeah. You're going to see the non-statesman of it tonight, probably.
But, and my goal in kicking this hornet's nest or opening this can of worms is not to to be a problem to anyone. It just concerns me when I see some projects that are going forward in my area. And, you know, I talk to some of my local guys, even some of my local union guys, and they're not working on that. And it's like, well, none of our local contractors got a bid on that issue. And so that really concerns me. In other words, no, I don't want it to be exclusive to Phelps County residents, never. I mean, you know, because then that leads to another whole set of problems. But, you know, we had a pretty sizable project that was done, and it was a great, great job, no problem. And I didn't have very many of my guys working on that, you know, union or non-union, and that did concern me a little bit. And I did not delve into the contracts, that, you know, I did not. I should have maybe if I had that concern. But, you know, I'm at the point that, you know, I know of three or four projects that, you know, and honestly, these have been commissioners that's brought this to me and said, you know, can you please do something with prevailing wage? We need to build this little shed. Don't cost a lot of money. And I'm like, you know, if it don't cost a lot of money, then what's the big deal, you know? And you know, I get hit on these issues at home.
I understand.
Not just from one party.
Sincerely understand the frustration.
Yeah.
I understand, and I'll say it on this floor, 68% being determined by collective bargaining agreement. That's why it's not going to make the people in the labor movement happy that I say mandatory reporting. The first thing they're going to say is, oh, my God, we were getting 70% without having to do anything. What are you making us work for now?
Right.
But I'm willing to make that stretch.
Right.
I'm willing to stand up to them and say, you're big boys, you're big girls. Report your hours just like everyone else
and
go
yeah.
that process. And
yeah.
then if you remember in the back room, the head of the Department of Labor said, I got an idea for you. State of Maryland just created an easier way to report hours.
Yeah.
And this could probably be your solution and see how that works for a year. We're getting good reports of how it's working in the state of Maryland. So how often do we see what other states do when we have issues and we sit there and we listen to them and we go that way? So there's another step we could take, and I think the senator from Jefferson has that amendment.
He does, yeah.
Make it really simple to report the hours. Really, really simple. And then we get a true determination. Now, I'm going to be gone. Senator from the 11th is going to be gone. So we're not going to hold this up, and the senator from Stoddard will be gone. So all you individuals that are still here are going to sit back in 2 years and say, you know, this thing's working, or you're going to say, no, it isn't working, let's do this.
Right.
But the reason I have inquired of you, and you're my buddy, so I'm not going to make you stand up, is I wanted somebody that maybe your side of the aisle would listen to, hear about the process we went through the meetings, and how we brought people in that were in the industry that were concerned. And aren't we supposed to listen to the industry when we deal with these issues, Senator?
Oh, no.
We brought them in, and not one of the issues the industry pushed is what came out. The issue that is in that bill is what one contractor said. And here I just listened to you about 400 contractors saying, don't do anything.
Right.
So that's all, Senator. You've been a joy to work with, and I still agree with you 1,000% of the time. And hopefully after tonight, with an open mind, I can influence you to come over this side, because I had to listen to the senator from Stoddard for 2 hours manipulate the conversation. Now I'm going to bring out some of the facts in the conversation.
And I appreciate that. And I think that's why we're all here, is through the amendment process. You know, we saw earlier in the day an issue that didn't look like it was going to go anywhere, and through amendments and discussion, I think we got a pretty good bill. And, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of this discussion, hopefully 2 years from now, we're going to say, you know, we've got, there's only 10% of the counties that aren't reporting, or, you know, something of that nature. And that's probably too low a number. But hopefully we get more people involved in the process. So, yeah, I've always said, if you want to affect anything, you have to have a seat at the table. And if you're not sitting at the table, which a lot of the contractors are not, then you're going to get what is determined to be your medicine.
But Senator, we brought contractors to sit at the table.
And I agree.
And guess what? Nobody wanted to listen to them. And I have to try to get through to enough of my colleagues to say, just because he's the pro tem, he was in the meetings, he don't know it all.
Yeah.
Now, he might know more than me when it comes to law. And on that issue, I always ask him when we're joking, why is it so hard? You complain about us construction workers making this much in St. Louis and this much down in your area, but if you're a judge or a circuit judge, you make the same as a circuit judge or judge in St. Louis. Why is it the lawyers and the judges always get treated better than us working people? Why is that?
They write the law.
Yes. Well, the senator from Lewis kind of, he didn't know it, but he kind of insulted me when I was talking to him about the teacher's minimum pay, and I asked him, why are you worried about the teachers and not the construction workers? And he said, because, well, they have college degrees. You know, Senator, I'm a construction worker, and I have a college degree. Yeah. That's kind of insulting.
Yeah.
You know? So, Senator, it's been a complete joy talking with you. I just did want to share with everyone, you sat in those meetings just like the senator from the 11th and senator from Jefferson. And you have also said that you got to be at the table. What I'm trying to make sure everyone is aware of, there's a lot of contractors that were at that table whose voice is not being heard.
Right. Okay? And, you know, and one of the contractors made a comment, and I agree with him. He was the gentleman from Kansas City, and I probably can't pronounce his name right, but he said, I'm tired of coming down here on this issue. And, you know, and I'm relatively new to this issue, in the legislative end of it. I've heard about it, you know, all my life at home. And a lot of the concerns that I hear deal with the Davis-Bacon Act because of Fort Leonard Wood, and that's a different ball game than what we're talking about here. But, you know, I do hope that through the amendment process and discussion process that we find a way to address everyone's concerns.
Senator, for us to find a way that'll be effective.
Right, I agree. Yeah,
for us to find a way to be effective, we got to break away from this partisan division. We got to step aside from doing a 10-hour debate on the issue and listen to everybody that's at the table. For us to do that, for it to go to the House and then to the governor, to actually become law, to sit here and say on the floor, we did something. Wow, that's what you got to do. Till we are willing to do this, this is just a waste of time.
You know, there's some legislation that we do up here that are very, very important and affects a lot of people and does affect people's ability to make a living. There's some legislation we do that's not so important, but maybe it's a constituent issue that affects a smaller number, and we try to push that idea for them to get that done. But this is something that is a big issue, and at a time when we really do need to stimulate the economy in our state, put people back to work, get manufacturing back here, and I think at the end of the day, everyone is devoted to that end. Otherwise, we shouldn't probably be here.
I'm going to tell you a little quick story before I leave you go. Tomorrow, that I found out yesterday that I asked they not do this, but my family is coming up tomorrow. I am one of seven. Did you know I am one of seven?
I did not know that.
Do you know I suffer from middle child syndrome?
I can see that.
I am number four of number seven. All seven of us have college degrees. Five of the seven are construction electricians. Two of the five that are electricians are also electrical engineers. And then my sister's a nurse. My mother was a teamster. She drove a forklift in a warehouse. What she would do is... My mom, God rest her soul, she'd drive the forklift in the skids and load the pharmaceutical things for Schnucks because they had their warehouse on the Rock Road. My father worked 42 years as a construction electrician, first as a lineman, then as a residential wireman, then as a commercial wireman. Some of the big jobs he ran was the Edward Jones Dome and the Scott Trade Center, GM plant. He did all the temperature control on that. 42 years, he raised seven kids. All seven have college degrees. We always had health care. None of us took any student loans at the cost of the government. We didn't take any Medicaid dollars or Medicaid dollars to help us because we always had insurance. He raised those seven kids, seven college degrees, no public assistance, and he's 75 years old, and he got to retire with dignity. He's got a pension. You know those things everyone's talking about, these defined benefit plans, these pensions? He's got one. And guess what? Through his career as a union construction electrician, the subpay is paid by the health and welfare of the local. That's how we are with these unions. So not Medicare pays for all of his bills. So I get tired, and I think Governor Nixon said it best when we had this rally the other day. You get tired of getting attacked for doing what's right. In defending somebody to make a good living with benefits and to have a pension that don't cost the taxpayer nothing. And besides us not costing the taxpayer anything for our college degrees, the five of us that are electricians went through the Joint National Electrical, JATC, Joint Apprenticeship Training Center, National Electrical Contractors Association. Do you know how much that costs the taxpayers for us all to get the education?
Nothing.
Not a dime. And I just want to make sure the senator first don't go too far because he's next. But I wanted to share that with you because I do get tired of us talking. And what I'm going to talk so you, when you go to your office, you can hear is we're going to talk about child care and we're going to talk about Medicaid costs in the state and how that keeps going up and up. And if we keep pushing the bar down of what people make and we don't reward these contractors that pay health and welfare benefits,
right,
we're going to make the demand on government services more. So thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the 13th.
I inquire the senator from the 1st.